We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
And now the pitch by Martinez is up and in and hits Gerald Williams on the left hand.
Dig your cleats in.
Now he's going to charge the mound. He's going to charge Martinez, and the fight is on. He got a right hand in before he's grabbed from behind by Varitek, and now the benches are empty.
It's time for hour two of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yerzynski wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate, and Yerzynski not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate, and here they go.
Step up to the plate for hour two of the Hot Corner.
Posehnik getting into it with Barrett. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Rudez had helped. Whoa. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Welcome in to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you missed any of the first hour, you can download the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com or on Twitter. Friendly reminder, Beers on Us podcast drops tomorrow, so there's that to check out around 4 o'clock. You can download that wherever you find your podcasts. We got Fair or Foul at the bottom of the hour, which we'll get to as well, as we always do. But first, Let's continue with the Twins here.
Okay.
We were talking about surprise teams in baseball, and I was ready to just glance over them. And my fantastic co-host, our fantastic host of this great, great show we do here.
The best. Around.
Mike wants to talk about the Twins. So I think at this moment, Mike, the Twins are 13-8. Indians are 13-10. Tigers are 12-10. That's kind of where the division is right now at this moment. I think everyone expects the Indians to roll the division. You want to talk about the Twins. Go.
Well, I was of the expectation that the Twins would be in the wild card hunt this year based on their team. And because the Indians are good but not great,
right?
I felt like they would be able to stay near the top of the AL Central. And so far, it's been coming true.
I would agree with that. I think the Twins last year had good talent. They're just in this weird thing. They're in this weird thing where one year they're really good, and then they have the same players the next year and they're really bad. And then they have the same players the next year and they're really good. Although this year, they've had an influx of players.
So they've got a bunch of young guys who are kind of all popping at the same time. You got Eddie Rosario, who has 10 home runs, by the way. Jorge Polanco, the shortstop, sitting almost 400. Max Kepler is having a good start to the year. He's their young outfielder. Byron Buxton is actually hitting this year and is, of course, fielding because he's great. And they added in Marwin Gonzalez and Nelson Cruz, who are two veterans who helped this team immensely. And neither of them are having great starts to the year. Cruz is hitting well, but doesn't have a lot of bombs yet.
I dropped Gonzalez in my fantasy league.
Me too. But it's just, it was the right pieces, I think, at the right time to add to a lineup that desperately needed some vets to go with a lot of their young guys. So, and also they got Jonathan Scope, who had a really bad year last year, but is really, I think, much better than that. And I guess he's probably a veteran, but maybe you're also just taking a chance on a guy who's really high ceiling.
Yeah.
So that's reason one why I think they're really exciting and good. But reason two is they have an ace who's actually an ace now in Jose Berrios, or Berrios, or however the correct pronunciation of his name is.
I think we're going with Berrios.
Okay. If you've watched him pitch the last few years, you know he's got special stuff. But
he's always seen the stuff.
But he's had issues with consistency this year so far. Consistent. And
the kid is good.
Yes.
The kid is good and quite scary, to be honest with you. And as somebody who watches the American League Central on a consistent basis, that has seen the Johan Santanas of the world, the Justin Verlanders of the world, hell, the Chris Sales of the world. I am tired of these small market teams with dudes that are just aces. I'm used to it as an Indians fan, which is funny because, you know, we have Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer and Carrasco and blah, blah, blah. But I'm tired of seeing these guys, and now add Berrios to the list.
Yes.
Now it's like, okay, great. I finally get rid of Verlander, get rid of Sale. You know, you move on, and oh, cool. The Twins got another ace. Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, so that's the reason why, and their bullpen's actually pretty good so far. They've got three guys who...
It's committee.
Well, yeah.
The whole thing's committee.
They were projected to be closers, Blake Parker, Trevor Hildenberger, and Trevor May. And so far, Parker's been the guy getting the saves. He's got four of them. But Taylor Rogers also has three of them. So I guess they're kind of bouncing around all over the place. But they have a really low bullpen ERA. Parker's got a 1-2-3. Hildenberger's got a 2-1-6. May's a 3-8-6. Rogers is a 2-3-1. So the starters outside of Berrios are not super great. You got Michael Pineda, who's back in the league. You've got Jake Odorizzi, Kyle Gibson, all struggling to start the year. But it's the bullpen and the hitting that gets me excited about this team. And I think with Berrios, I'm going to get that. We got to find out what it is officially.
Yeah.
And I think Odorizzi is good. And
yeah, I think he's a good too.
I think Kyle Gibson is good as well. So to me, that's a potential three-headed top of the rotation that will be good enough to really help this team push to the playoffs. I'm just excited about them because I like teams that build it this way and finally get young guys to pop. And I'm excited about Byron Buxton finally hitting well.
Well, and I think that's great. And I think what we saw last year with the Milwaukee Brewers is you don't necessarily need great starters to get yourself somewhere. I think you need starters to win a World Series. But to get yourself into the playoffs, which the Twins could be fighting for right now, good bullpen, timely hitting. It's kind of the name of the game these days.
And an ace.
Yep. And you got one guy that in a one-game do or die, you've got a guy there. And you were saying that you were excited about, you know, the young guys on that team, and that makes me want to transition to this because I want to slide this in because we got something cool to talk about next. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. gets called up finally.
Finally. Friday will be his first game in a Blue Jay uniform.
We knew that the Blue Jays were going to wait to make sure they could attain the... control
the service
of him
years
for a little bit, but it seemed to be delayed. It sounded like he was going to come up yesterday, but something derailed that on Friday. So it sounds like they're actually trying to keep an eye on the kid. That's great. I want to kind of open this real quick because we're up against the clock. I'm curious. There are so many young players right now that are hyped so hard. Can Vlad Jr. ever get to the hype?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think he can.
You think he is that special of a player that he can do this?
Yeah. I think from what I've seen from him in spring training and from the numbers, not that I've watched minor league games, but the numbers that I've seen from him in the minors and the scouting reports that I've seen, the key, I actually saw this one today. It says, he is his father at the plate with more discipline.
That's scary.
Isn't that terrifying?
That's scary because Vlad was pretty smart guy at the dish.
Right, but he swung at everything.
Well, but he made contact with everything.
True.
So one could argue he swung because he knew he was going to make contact.
So he's a guy who'll get on base more and can rake like his dad. I mean.
Good God.
How exciting is that?
Good God.
I don't even care that he's in my division. I want to watch him play.
Well, you're just glad that that Toronto's really bad.
Yeah, well. Did you notice they called him up after they got two hit today?
They're like, that's it. We're done.
Yeah.
We're done. Someone call that kid. What's his name? What's that kid's name in the minors? I need that kid now.
The Count, Vlad.
The Count, Vlad. Does he wear batting gloves? That's my biggest question.
Ooh, I don't know.
Because if he wears batting gloves, chump.
Batting gloves?
Shut up. Don't talk to me that way. If he wears batting gloves, I'm going to be severely disappointed because his old man did not wear batting gloves.
I'm going to say he wears batting gloves, but it's only because I think it's part of the look now. It's a cool thing.
I think it's way cool to not wear batting gloves and swing a big stick and rake.
So you're a gardener?
Sure. I'm down with that. If it gets me on base, baby, sign me up.
All right. I have not seen pictures of whether or not he wears batting gloves. So.
Well, I got to know.
Apologies.
We'll find that out soon. So that's exciting. We'll see Vlad Guerrero Jr. It sounds like on Friday. So that'll be exciting. So look out for him. One of the new up and coming, as I feel like we've got about six or seven of them in the game right now to pay attention to, whether it's Fernando Tatis Jr., Vlad Guerrero Jr., or spoiler alert, my favorite, Pete Alonso. There's a lot of young kids right now, and it's time to start watching those young kids play baseball. When we come back, Mike brought something up to me when we were off the air about an interesting way to look at some free agents and the minor league system in general. And I want to talk about that next. We're going to get a little nerdy baseball, but I'm interested in that. And we got Fair or Foul at the bottom of the hour in 15 minutes. This is the Hot Corner. That's Mike Lynch, Joe Fisher behind the glass. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
That's Stevie Winwood. If you don't know Stevie Winwood, then it's time to get on board.
Joe, I'm noticing that all the songs that Patrick picked are being played today, but yet all the songs that I picked are not being played.
Damn right.
And all the songs I picked were already in the system, so it was super easy.
I'm sorry. There's a lot of death metal in the rotator, all right?
It's just later.
Yeah. Maybe next week.
What to be?
You know, I honestly had an internal thought. I was like, I wonder if Mike's going to, like, say anything, if he's going to notice. Like, I did play all three of Patrick. And I was like, he won't care.
I don't really care. I just wanted to talk some smack.
God.
That's the higher love I've been thinking of. What, nothing? Nobody loves Stevie Winwood? Check out Traffic. That's a good band, too. I once saw Stevie Winwood open for Tom Petty at the Gorge.
Rest in peace. Not Steve Winwood, Tom Petty.
That was the summer after I went to Paris and saw the Notre Dame Cathedral.
Mm. A couple of humble brags in a row right there.
Just wanted to make sure. I haven't seen that cathedral. I've never been to Paris.
Oh, okay.
But you know that classic, like, you know, God. Once Notre Dame catches on fire and everybody's like, oh, my God, prayers, thoughts.
And they show the picture they took like 15 years ago.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad I got to see that place. By the way, I went to Paris once.
And saw it.
And I saw it.
Real quickly on that, though, Disney, they donated $5 million for repairs. Is it just me or for Disney, is that not a lot of money?
That ain't nothing.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's like tossing a nickel to a peasant. Like, come on now.
Also, the things I've been seeing on social media, you know who could use $5 million? Flint, Michigan. Mm. That's who could use $5 million.
And some more.
Yeah. Like, let's... Never mind. That's a bad topic to go down the path of. Correct, Michael?
Clean water?
Or do you don't want to go down the path?
You don't want people to drink clean water?
Oh, I definitely want people to drink clean water.
I'm pretty sure...
I really badly want people to drink clean water.
I'm pretty
sure across the world.
OPB is down the road, so, I mean, like, we can kind of, you know, do some merger here, maybe.
I think there are very few things in this
world. We're looking
world.
At some very unclean water out the window right now. So,
and the poop filled Willamette.
Yeah.
My fantasy team's 3 for 33 today.
There are very few things in the world that I want than everyone drinking clean water. Do you know how much better the world would be if everyone drank clean water?
How much better?
Probably 20% better than what it is now. Mm. I mean, the bar is set pretty low.
Okay.
The world sucks right now.
You know what? I'm going to go 21%. Price is right, yeah.
Damn it, Mike. You're like, you can talk about clean water all you want. And I bring it up and you're like, you shouldn't talk about that.
I didn't say talk about it all you want. I was just goading you into doing it so I could shut it down.
So you could shut me down. God, you're so great, Mike. You're so great. Hey, there's an actual starter in the outfield for the Yankees. How do you like that? And you should have let him go 2 years ago.
Yeah, probably.
He's a starter.
He's a leader in the club.
Is he a starter?
He is. He has been our starter, yes.
Only because Giancarlo's a DH.
No, no, no. Well, yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
And when everyone gets healthy, yes, maybe yes, Clint yes. Frazier takes his job because he's been hitting well.
Yes, 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 yes. Speaking of the Yankees having a bunch of me, you, and Joes in the outfield, you were talking about this interesting article you had read.
It was not an article.
Or theory.
It was my father.
It was your father.
Because I got to go see the Yankees this
your
past weekend.
Your father, Papa Lynch.
Yes.
Coming in hot.
So it is
journalist
something-
Papa Lynch.
Publisher.
Publisher.
Yes.
Publisher, researcher, analyst, scout, Papa Lynch.
Event,
what's his first name?
Creator, Gary.
I'm sticking with Papa.
Okay.
Ooh, hashtag I'm Gary.
Hashtag I'm Gary.
Ooh,
also
I like
my,
it.
Also my middle name. So.
Ooh, you guys are just Gary's all. No wonder you love Sanchez. He's garbage and you guys love
it's,
him.
It's the thing on my father's side. The men have their dad's middle name.
He's absolutely
their
garbage
name
and you all
name.
Love Gary Sanchez. No wonder.
The theory slash the strategy they've been doing, which I did not know until he told me this, so forgive me for not knowing Yankee fans, but apparently one of the, to quote Moneyball, inefficiencies that they were trying to exploit was acquiring basically career minor leaguers who had been stuck on a team who couldn't promote them because of a certain player being there or whatever, right?
Okay.
And trade for them for basically nothing because they're career minor leaguers and have your scouting report find guys who just appear undervalued, right? Someone who just couldn't cut it.
Yeah.
And try to change them into a good player.
Lonnie Chisenhall.
Exhibit number A for the Yankees is Luke Voit from the Cardinals.
Right.
Who they traded Chasen Shreve, who was a crappy left-handed reliever.
Everyone hated him.
Yes. And Luke Voit has now reached base safely in 35 consecutive games
he's
for the
taking
Yankees.
He's taking the position from Greg Bird.
Yes.
Who was,
well, Greg Bird lost the position by being bad.
Well, right, but. Right. But Greg Bird was a highly touted prospect, and I think the Yankees are in a comfortable enough place that they could have stuck with him to see if he would come along with multiple at-bats. But yeah, you're right. He lost it himself.
But yeah, so Voit was example number A, and then the reason this got brought to light is because all the injuries have created opportunities for all these guys in the minors. And the thing is the Yankees 2 years ago had one of the best farm systems in baseball, but now that's kind of gone because they brought a bunch of them up.
Isn't that funny?
And they've traded some, and
Yankees farm system sucks. Yeah, man, they're all in the bigs.
Yeah.
Astros farm system sucks. Yeah, dude, they won a World Series.
So what they're doing is they're finding these career minor leaguers and they're having their scouts look for guys who appear to have talent and they're trading for them because it doesn't cost anything. And one of the examples right now is Mike Tauchman, who actually made the major league roster as the backup utility outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
He was acquired by the Rockies this offseason or this spring training for another minor leaguer. And now he's hit a couple of home runs and he's actually having big at-bats and he's not that bad. And another one that you'll be familiar with is Giovanni Urshela, who was a former Indian who they traded for, who's now getting big at-bats because of the injuries. But I just think it's a really interesting strategy because guys are going to get hurt. That's sports.
Right.
That's baseball. And if you don't have the top farm system to bring up great players anymore, you don't want to be stuck bringing up your personal AAA guys who have been there for 30 years that aren't very good.
Right.
Exaggerating. 10 years. But you want to go find guys you think are good and are stuck in bad situations to replace them. And I think that's exactly what they've done because this year when the Yankees called up all these guys, when these players went down with injuries, I went, I don't know who Tauchman is. I don't know who Urshela is. I don't know who Mike Ford is. And most of these guys were just acquired this year in a trade. So it's a new strategy that they're using, which I think is a really interesting thing that might catch on because it helps when guys get hurt.
Well, I think what grabs my attention about it is I think so many times when we look at people's minor league system, it's all about prospects. You know what I mean? It's all about how good will Fernando Tatis Jr. be? You know, how great will Vlad Jr. be? How great will, you know, fill in the blank, you know, hey, we draft Dansby Swanson number one. How good will he be? That I think we overlook that the minors are completely full of fringe players. That is what AAA is.
Yep.
They're all fringe players. And I think it's something that would behoove you as a team. And it's funny that the Yankees are doing this because they have, you know, basically disposable income in comparison to a lot of teams. that how is this not the way that small market teams are looking? You know, what it cost you to get Luke Voit, a player you hate,
yep,
that wasn't very good, who's probably in AAA right now. So you can grab those fringe guys and plug them in. And I love this concept. I love this concept. It's adding more value to looking at your minor league system. If you're the Minnesota Twins, we were just talking about the Twins. If the Twins come August, you know, they don't have a lot of guys that they want to trade. They don't have a lot of money, that kind of stuff. But it's like, well, if I can get that Luke Voit guy, if I can get that Mike Ford guy because my left fielder went down, plug him in, that guy's going to be so jacked to play that it might be the good route.
Well, and you have to trust your scouts, too, to say, here's a guy who is just being undervalued by his franchise right now, who we think with a couple of tweaks here and there, maybe a year or two with us, will turn into a solid quality, maybe not starter, but quality effective player to help the team out in need.
Right. And depending on the type of manager you have, you know, if I'm a, and I'm going to only use this because I'm, you know, used to these guys. If you're a Terry Francona, you're like, yeah, I can tweak that guy's hitting stance. I can get him to hit. We can make that better.
Yep.
If you're the Mets and you're Mickey Callaway, it's like, oh, that guy, yeah, well, his sinker's just kind of hanging. It's not dropping enough. I can fix that. That's all it takes. Just some of those little tweaks on those fringe players. You're not expecting them to hit 50 bombs or have a 2.16 ERA by any means, but in a spot, in a clutch, you could use them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's something maybe we as fans ignore too. So maybe it's been happening at a greater rate than even I know at this point. But you see trades for minor leaguers and you go, okay, who cares?
Yeah, you just see names and you're like, okay, but that's what I'm saying. He's not a top prospect. It's not Francisco Mejia where you're like, you know, oh, hey, Lucas Giolito or whatever the dude's name for Chicago.
Yeah,
you know, Yoan Moncada. You know, it's not that like, oh, okay, we've heard about these guys. I've heard this Chris Bryant guy is going to be really good. Sometimes if you can have those dudes that are fringe, that can push you over.
Well, and I guess if you think about it, if you're acquiring a minor leaguer in a trade, you see something from him. But a lot of the times I think from what you see is the super young guys get acquired who are just blocked by a bunch of players.
Right.
Not the 26-year-old who's been in AAA for 5 years. And right.
If you're an infielder for Houston, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like you're not breaking in.
Right. So maybe that's a place you can go look for.
Yeah.
Unless the Astros are really high on that player too. So I just thought it was a really interesting strategy. And I mean, it's not something that's there to win you championships, but in a situation where the Yankees are in now where 13 of their players are on the IL, having guys who at least have large amounts of experience is way better. And have even been in the majors, because both Tauchman and Urshela have been in the majors before, mm-hmm, is way better than bringing up a guy for his first time.
Well, I think this is an interesting topic that I'd love to keep an eye on throughout the season and especially throughout the years to come, as Major League Baseball has been very, very big on the minor league system and the rebuild and all that kind of stuff. We've seen the mold and we're all starting to pay a lot more attention to minor league and prospects. It's going to be interesting to see how this comes along. All right, when we come back, we have Fair or Foul, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up as we do every single week. But first, there's my man Joe with sports.
Is it fair?
Oh my
That's
goodness.
That's a fair ball!
Or is it foul?
Well, he thought it was foul, I think.
A knowledge test for Patrick and Mike to see how well they know the big leagues.
Mathematics and strange symbols now, as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. The OBP and the SLG and the ISO and the you name it.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
Peralta knocks it into center. David tonight, 2-for-2, a leadoff single here in the fourth. And nobody noticed.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is Fair or Foul, and we're going to pull a quick page from prime time. And I'm not going to look at the clock. So without further ado, this is Fair or Foul. I'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Mr. Joe Fisher.
All right.
Game of Thrones reunion.
So we talked about teams that have been surprising What's not been surprising is Chris Davis not being able to hit the ball. We've talked about it immensely this year.
Hey, Chris Davis is doing all right. I saw the other day he was batting 247, but now he's at like 253.
Not quite.
He's talking about Chris with a C.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about Chris with a K. I'm talking about the real baseball player. Sorry, my bad. Continue.
Yeah, the Oakland A's Chris has one K. The Baltimore Orioles Chris has lots of Ks. Many, many Ks. But believe it or not, yeah, it's been swinging the stick a little bit better lately.
Wait, Chris Davis with a K only has one strikeout this year?
No. Never mind, Mike. Come on. Yeah. Are you serious?
Catch up, bro.
Oh.
There you go. Okay, there we go.
Jeez, man.
Thank you.
He's the smart one of the three, too.
I know. Jeez Louise. But Chris Davis, he actually has been hitting the ball lately.
I have noticed this a little bit.
And has he been hitting it so well that fair or foul, he is batting above 300 since ending his hitless streak. That 0-for-50 whatever.
Above 300?
Above 300 since, obviously.
No, that's... I'm pretty sure that's foul. I've seen he's been a part of the Orioles scoring runs, which I guess is a victory upon itself. But above 300? I'm not willing to give him that much credit. I'll say foul.
I believe this is fair. I think the man has had two home runs and a double since he's broken that streak.
That's three hits. Good. How do we get to 300?
Well, he doesn't play every day.
That is true. I have seen him rest a couple of days.
Yeah,
he did not play today, actually.
He gets out seven times, and he gets on three times. That's 300. I'm going to say fair.
Patrick, you're a smart man. You're smart to believe in my Orioles and Chris Davis. He is batting above 300.
Yeah, baby!
Extra credit. Is he batting above 350?
No, never. And if he is, those are fake stats.
I lost all faith in you, Patrick, because he's 9 for 25. Good for a batting average of 360 since his hitless streak.
9 for 25. Let's go. Comeback player of the year. I am now rooting for Chris Davis.
Let's go.
I was wrong once. I was against you once, Chris Davis. I will never be against you again for the rest of the season.
Now, granted, yeah, he has sat a couple days, so.
Well, that's how I had him. That's why I had a good feeling. He's over 300.
All right. Sticking in the AL East, though. We got one team that's surprising, the Rays, one team that's disappointing, the Red Sox, and one team that's getting just beat all to hell, the Yankees. So right now, is it fair or foul? Only one team going to make the AL East? And who would that be?
You mean make the playoffs out of the AL East?
Yes.
I
mean, are the Rays fool's gold?
No,
are the Red Sox this bad? Are the Yankees just snake bitten with injuries?
I'm still going to say foul on this one. It's so early. I think both the Yankees and Red Sox could and will recover, and I think the Rays will be involved in it, so I think more than one team will be in it by default on that. Although I'm speaking highly of the Twins, I think they have a chance to be in the wild card race. It's just less likely to me. And then outside of the Astros, I know the AL West is having some teams play well at the moment, including your Seattle Mariners, but my trust for that is even lower. So
by the day,
I'll say foul. I'll say multiple teams will still make it out of the AL East.
I will say foul only because I do believe that the Rays and the Yankees are legit. I do think when the Yankees get healthy, especially the big one for me with the Yanks, to keep it short, is Severino. If Severino comes back and pitches well, I like what I've seen from James Paxton. I think Tanaka is being the Tanaka we expect, which is, I think, actually the most important thing right now is for Tanaka to be the Tanaka we expect. I like the Rays. I don't think the Rays are going anywhere. However, I say foul, right? We're saying foul that multiple teams will. However, it's a two-team race, in my opinion. And like, we need to see the Mariners are good come the All-Star break. I need the Red Sox to tell me that they're not bad. And that's going to take the All-Star break for me. Because right now, I think that pitching staff is so dismal, is so atrocious, that not even signing Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell can fix it. So the Red Sox need to show me. However, I am a believer in the Rays. So I'll say foul.
Well, it's fair. You just haven't seen that Orioles second half resurgence yet. So
Dylan Bundy, fantasy pickup of the year.
Just wait. We'll make some deals.
Yeah. All right. Get some Andrew Cashner in there.
Is he still on the team?
Yes, sadly. all right, moving
Signed
on.
Signed Bartolo late in the year.
Actually, I'll give you guys the choice here. Would you like to choose a Bryce Harper-esque question or a Seattle Mariners-esque question?
I want both.
Rapid fire? We're against the clock. I can do it.
I bow to the host of the show.
I like both. I like questions. I like fair or foul.
Bryce Harper's got a lot
and
of attention.
And I don't care about the clock.
To start the season.
I really do.
I don't know if you guys have watched a lot of his baseball, really, but is he fair or foul leading the league in strikeouts?
Bryce Harper?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, I feel like you're saying this because it's fair, but I can't believe that's true. I'm going to go foul.
I hate Bryce Harper more than maybe anybody on the planet outside of Bryce Harper himself, because I bet you he looks in the mirror and goes, man, you suck, dude. And that's why he's so cocky and arrogant.
Just mad. Mad at himself.
As much as he frustrates me as a hitter, I think.
This isn't rapid fire, Patrick.
Sorry. I'm gonna say foul. There's no way. I'd be shocked if he was leading the league in strikeouts. I just think there's people like Chris Davis in the world that there's too many people that strike out way too much.
Yeah, for the A's, yeah. I mean, he's like either a big home run hitter or he just strikes out.
There's got to be somebody on the White Sox that already has 200 strikeouts.
Well, if I would have thrown in the qualifier National League, then it would have been fair, but it is foul because Jorge Soler has 39 strikeouts to Bryce Harper's 34.
Wow.
That is really surprising to me.
Trying too hard in Philly.
Batting .261 as well.
But he is still getting on. .261
is par for the course.
He is still getting on base, though.
And the quick last one, Mariners and Marlins related. Fair or foul, the Mariners have scored 100 more runs than the Marlins already this season.
Oh, dang. I was just looking at this, too. It's got
to
be fair.
It has to be fair. Because we just talked about how they had 163, which was 20 more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Or 30 more than anybody else.
Yeah,
so
and the Marlins' run differential is like minus 77. Something like that. I think I can even find that. Not to ruin Joe's foul here.
That would.
But I'm about to do it.
Well, answer, Joe.
Yeah, well, just tell us.
Felix wished he would have got some run support.
Minus 49.
And for this question, to be fair, you guys wished they would have got some run support. Actually, only a 98 run difference. They got shut out today, so if they would have gotten two runs at least, that would have given the victory and the 100-run differential.
I feel like that's semantics on a question like that.
So the Marlins aren't as bad as we thought, but still the worst team in baseball?
98 runs worse.
Are they the worst team in baseball?
Yes. Dude, they scored 65 runs in what, like 23 games?
Yeah, they have 65 runs
in 24 games.
Everybody in the National League East has 123 and more. Starlin Castro.
Is he hitting best?
Can you name another hitter?
Yeah, because I'm playing them in MLB The Show right now. No, but I'm just seeing who actually is hitting the best for them.
They're averaging
Brian Anderson?
Barely three runs a game.
He's hitting .320.
Dude, they have Curtis Granderson starting every day.
Yeah, he's hitting .160.
Oh, my God.
Castro's hitting .247.
Neil Walker.
Jorge Alfaro from the Phillies. Remember him? He's hit .267 so far.
This team is hot, hot, hot garbage. All right, when we come back, that is fair or foul. Thank you, Joe. That was fantastic. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up as we do every single week. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Save 50 here on the Hot Corner. This is Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. Beers on Us podcast drops tomorrow at 4 o'clock. You get iTunes, podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, radio.com, 1080thefan.com. You like beer? I like beer.
Thank you, Joe, by the way, for some hot eye valiance right there.
Got some eye valiance. Did I say that right when I asked you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you said high valiance, I think.
Oh, no, I meant I, because right. I was looking at it. It was I, comma. I was worried that I said valiance wrong.
Nope, that's the name of the band. Really good band, if you haven't heard them. If you
really
like
good band. Really good band. A funny thing I saw the other day, speaking of beer, I don't know, maybe we'll talk about this for the podcast, who knows. But there is a goat festival that's about to go on with like Wayfinder and Chuckanut and some people.
Goat?
Yeah, like.
Like the animal or like greatest of all time?
The goat, like the animal. And follow me on this. It's a Maibock type festival, which the most common beer in that style is like a Doppelbock.
Okay.
And so this goat is like the theme of it. Because you remember the Lucabrator, which is a Doppelbock from Occidental, has a goat on it.
Okay.
Kiss the Goat from
Gigantic. Yep.
And then Wayfinder is about to release Were Goat, which is a Doppelbock.
Okay.
So apparently goats are the thing.
It's a thing, all right.
And the reason I thought of this is because apparently there's a great metal band locally called Were Goat.
Cool.
And I think we need to
like
give...
Like werewolf, but Were Goat?
Yeah, but I think we need to give Were Goat a lot of love. Apparently one guy in this band is a butcher, and they frequently play shows with animal products on them and blood all over them.
Mm. That sounds about metal to me.
And they might go to this goat beer festival dressed in
their usual garb.
Dressed in their usual garb.
And play some death metal for you?
Well, I don't know if they're going to let them play, but I'm not a metal guy, but I would definitely listen to Were Goat.
Yeah, you'd listen and go, ugh.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I would do that for any metal band. I mean, that's
I know. That's why they don't have metal bands do things like this, because most people will be like, please stop.
But I will definitely watch someone with like animal product hanging on them in blood.
Mm. Okay.
As an actor, I can appreciate that.
There's a band that I saw live called Flesh God Apocalypse. Yep, that's a real band name.
Say that again.
Flesh God space Apocalypse.
Bless you.
Thank you. They are from Italy, and they dress...
It is pronounced Italy.
And they dress like zombie, like tuxedo dudes. And it's actually kind of cool watching them up on stage. They were...
Zombie tuxedo
They were tuxes, but they're zombies. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a thing in metal. There's people who wear things, and there's themes. I'm not all about that. Like, it's kind of weird. I feel like if you're good at what you're doing, you don't need the show to be that weird about it. Like, just play your music
right,
and be good about it.
But it's still kind of part of it's the showmanship.
Yeah, it's part of metal a little bit. A band that I saw recently, ready for another metal band name, Slaughter to Prevail. Again, I'll say Slaughter to Prevail. Their dude wore a mask the entire 20-minute set that he did the last show I saw. So,
how do you guys feel about a band like Slipknot that all wore masks for years?
I always thought it was a little creepy.
But I mean, it sounds like everybody does that.
Well, some people do, yeah. I mean, I don't care if that's what you want to do.
Is that the right genre? Is Slipknot fit into what you guys are doing over there?
Slipknot is, they're like a pioneer of the genre, but they do not.
Like a mainstream pioneer?
They are
of the
a mainstream
genre?
Pioneer, yeah. They're like Disturbed. Those two, to me, are together like the mainstream metal pioneers.
Disturbed.
Yeah. Remember Disturbed?
I do. What was the song that I know? I only know one of them.
Stricken?
Yeah, how'd that song go?
Down with the Sickness?
Down with the Sickness.
Oh, that's them? I know that song.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't love that song, but it was like, oh, I do know one of the songs. Well, I know the band.
You probably know more songs than you think by them, because they actually have been like played on radio before. Hmm. So you might know some more.
Prayer, a good song by them.
Off the album Believe.
I've seen them actually in concert.
That's the second album they came out with.
Damn. Joe, bringing in hot with the metal.
Oh, yeah. Rock
new, new metal. N-U.
I did once go to an Audioslave show in which 30 Seconds to Mars and Seether opened. Is Seether considered like
no.
good stuff? What about
I don't know about good. They're more like They're more like pop rock.
I also saw,
in my opinion,
Taproot.
I don't know who that is.
And Power Man 5000.
Ooh, I've heard of them before.
And Mudvayne.
Yeah.
Are those real things?
Those are, I mean, they're real things. You said you saw them. But I...
Those are some stats for your ass.
I think there's a difference a little bit between Disturbed and those guys. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Okay. All right. Well, that's that. When we come back next week, we got more baseball, and there's going to be some Champions League, so you know I'm going to talk about that. We got a bunch of stuff for you. Thank you for listening to us. Beers on Us tomorrow at 4 p.m. Download that, rate, subscribe, give us some love. You can also check this on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080 The Fan. For Mike Lynch, Joe Fisher, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do. Like anything, really. Disturbed.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.